Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. Let's dive into the latest developments across AI, computing, and software engineering.
Today, we are looking at some fascinating growing pains in the world of AI coding agents. We have a bizarre telemetry anomaly with OpenAI's latest Codex model that is causing it to fail on complex tasks, and a heated debate over who really deserves credit when an AI is used to port a classic video game to the iPhone.
We will also cover a major security flaw involving autonomous pull request reviews, where a single malicious GitHub comment could potentially hijack your CI/CD pipeline.
It feels like we are hitting that awkward teenage phase for AI developers. The tools are incredibly powerful, but the guardrails are either too restrictive or, in some cases, dangerously absent.
Exactly. Let's start with what is happening over at OpenAI, because developers rely heavily on these models for enterprise workflows, and a newly discovered bug is throwing a wrench into those pipelines.
There is some troubling telemetry coming out of the OpenAI developer community right now. There is a growing consensus that GPT-5.5 Codex is experiencing a very specific issue with its reasoning token counts, which seems to be directly degrading its performance on complex tasks.
Right, and GPT-5.5, which just launched on April 23rd, is supposed to be OpenAI's flagship model for agentic workflows. Developers rely on it to plan and execute massive, multi-step coding pipelines. But users on GitHub are reporting that the model's responses are frequently clustering at highly specific reasoning token counts, exactly 516, 1034, and 1552 tokens.
Those numbers are far too specific to be a coincidence. And the real problem is what happens when the model hits those exact token counts. Users are observing that the model effectively short-circuits. It prematurely terminates its logic chain, and as a result, it spits out incorrect or incomplete solutions.
When you compare that to instances where the model uses a longer reasoning chain, say in the 6,000 to 8,000 token range, it typically yields the correct result. So it really looks like the model is artificially capping its own thinking budget at these specific intervals and failing to scale its reasoning to match the complexity of the problem.
The question is whether this clustering behavior is a sign of hard-coded limits that are failing under pressure, or if it is some sort of telemetry anomaly that users are misinterpreting as a model defect. But given the correlation with degraded performance, it strongly suggests a technical defect in how the model allocates its processing power.
This has a massive impact on the reliability of automated agentic pipelines. If you have an AI agent running a 50-step refactor across a massive code base, and on step 40 it hits that 1552 token limit and just gives up, your entire pipeline breaks. You cannot deploy an autonomous agent if it randomly decides to stop thinking halfway through a problem.
It really highlights the fragility of relying on frontier models for high-stakes software development. We treat these models like deterministic compilers, but they are highly stochastic, and internal resource management bugs like this can completely derail an enterprise workflow.
Until OpenAI addresses this, developers building agentic tools might have to implement their own workarounds, like aggressively prompting the model to explicitly show more work, or automatically retrying requests that terminate near those specific token thresholds. Next up, let's talk about a story that perfectly captures the current discourse around AI-assisted coding. Developer Amar Rishi recently released an open-source port of the classic 2003 real-time strategy game, Command & Conquer Generals, Zero Hour. He ported it natively to macOS, iPhone, and iPad, and credited Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 model for the engineering work.
On the surface, it sounds like an incredible showcase for AI, bringing a massive, two-decade-old Windows game engine to modern Apple silicon, complete with functional touch controls like drag box selection and pinch to zoom. But the controversy stems from the foundation this project was built upon.
Right. Rishi's project is actually a fork of an existing repository called Generals X, maintained by a developer named FBraze3. That existing project had already done the heavy lifting of porting the engine to macOS and Linux, utilizing EA's GPL version 3 source code release.
When you look at the commit history, Rishi's contribution, while genuinely useful for iOS users, totals approximately 19 commits on top of that existing human-engineered codebase. He essentially used Claude Fable 5 to write the glue code for iOS support and touch inputs.
And that is where the debate lies. To what extent does using an AI agent to perform glue code tasks change the definition of software development? The marketing of this project as an AI port obscures the reality that it relies on years of manual, human-led engineering in the underlying open-source repositories.
It feels dismissive to the open-source developers who spent countless hours reverse-engineering and adapting the GPL code. Calling it an AI achievement ignores the fact that the AI was standing on the shoulders of human giants.
At the same time, you cannot deny that Claude Fable 5 lowered the barrier to entry. Writing native iOS touch controls and hooking them into a legacy C++ game engine is not trivial. For a single developer to accomplish that quickly using an AI agent is impressive, even if it is just 19 commits.
I agree, but we need better terminology for this. It is an AI-assisted feature addition, not an AI port from scratch. As AI coding tools become more prevalent, the open source community is going to have to grapple with how we attribute credit when an AI stitches together existing human labor. Let's move to our final deep dive, which touches on a critical security vulnerability in the way we are deploying these autonomous coding agents. There is an active feature request on the Claude Code GitHub repository asking for immediate trust and scoping controls for the autofix pull requests feature.
For some context, the autofix feature allows a local Claude session to monitor GitHub pull requests and automatically push code changes to resolve CI failures or address review comments. It is an incredibly powerful tool for reducing developer friction. But right now, the desktop setting is a single account global toggle.
And that is where the danger lies. One of the wake triggers for this autofix agent is pull request review comments. On a public repository, that means any GitHub account can leave a comment, and your local Claude session will proactively ingest it and act on it.
Security researchers have been warning about this specific threat model, known as a comment and control attack, since April. It is a classic indirect prompt injection vulnerability. If an attacker crafts a malicious PR comment or issue description, they can effectively hijack the autonomous agent.
Because the agent treats all repository input as authoritative instructions, it can be tricked into exfiltrating sensitive credentials, like a GitHub token or ATI keys, right out of your environment. It could even execute arbitrary commands within your CI/CD pipeline.
The proposed solutions in the issue tracker are exactly what you would expect for enterprise software. Per-project overrides, CI-only modes, and collaborator-only comment triggers. The fact that these are not standard out of the box shows how fast agentic AI is moving compared to standard security practices.
We are so focused on the productivity gains of autonomous PR fixing that we are ignoring the inherent risks of ingesting untrusted data. Until these granular scoping controls are implemented, enabling a global autofix toggle on a public repository is a massive security gamble.
It really requires a fundamental change to how agents handle untrusted input. They need to understand context and privilege rather than blindly following text strings, regardless of who wrote them.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up. We have a couple more updates from the Claude Code ecosystem, plus some interesting developments in mapping and UI design. A feature request on GitHub is asking for more granular control over Claude Code's dangerously skip permissions mode. Right now, it is an all-or-nothing flag that disables all confirmation prompts for file writes and shell commands, which opens developers up to serious security risks.
The proposal is to allow this bypass only when the agent is running inside a secure sandbox, like Docker. It makes sense. Developers want to avoid approval fatigue during autonomous coding, but they need layered security to prevent the AI from escaping its intended boundaries.
Sticking with Claude Code, another issue highlights frustration with the CLI's native voice dictation limits. Currently, recordings automatically stop after 15 seconds of silence or a hard 2-minute maximum.
Neither of these limits can be configured in the settings.
If you're pausing to think through a complex, multi-part prompt, 15 seconds is nothing. It really highlights the tension between a streamlined, out-of-the-box tool and the granular control power users actually need.
Moving on to navigation, Organic Maps continues to position itself as the premier privacy-first alternative to Google Maps. It is open source, operates entirely offline using OpenStreetMap data, and features zero tracking or ads.
It is a great project, originally founded by the creators of Maps.me back in 2020. Though it is worth noting the challenges of community governance. Internal disputes actually led to a community-led fork called CoMaps this past April. Still, for remote hiking or avoiding data harvesting, it is incredibly robust.
A. Finally, a great piece on UI design by Marcin Wichary, titled, If You're a Button, You Have One Job. He uses the image rotation behavior on the iPhone versus the Nothing phone to critique how modern apps often lock out user input during animations.
It is a classic case of prioritizing aesthetic polish over responsiveness. When a user is in a hurry, forcing them to wait for a slick animation to finish before a button actually registers their tap is not just an annoyance, it is a genuine usability failure.
That is going to do it for this episode of the Noracast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for listening. If you want to read more about any of the stories we covered today, check out the show notes for links.
We will be back next time with more of the latest in tech, AI, and computing. Until then, stay safe out there.